In honor of the fact that there are a variety of people who are going to be joining Tzad on Sunday, I want to talk about an important topic in the thought of the Ramban and the Perush HaTorah. It is something which I think will carry us through different elements of it over the next over the remaining weeks of Choref Zman. That is the role of Eretz Yisrael. We've spoken so far this year in the terms of the Ramban's Perush HaTorah about a lot of very important fundamental topics, the role of Bitachon and Hishtadlus, different questions of Emuna, the role of the Avos, the purpose of mitzvos. We've tried to really cover well a lot of different areas, and the plan sort of taking us through the end of the Ramban, from our perspective, from our Lima, is going to be the role of Eretz Yisrael. What I want to focus on specifically today is a very important medrash, and it raises, again, a very critical question. Hopefully next week we'll speak about the nature of the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. Today I want to speak about the purpose and function of mitzvos in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laaretz. In Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laaretz. I want to start by giving some background. I'm then going to quote a medrash that's quoted by Rashi and elaborated on by the Ramban in a couple of places in his Perush HaTorah. And the real goal is to highlight four mahalchim in that medrash. Four mahalchim and some of the Rishonim and some of the Ba'alei Machshava to try and understand that medrash as well as possible. But let's start with the actual the background. The Mishnah Maseches Kedushin tells in Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph Lamed Vav Amud Beis that there are two kinds of mitzvos. There are mitzvos that are tlius ba'aretz and mitzvos that are not tlius ba'aretz. There are mitzvos that a person has to fulfill specifically in Eretz Yisrael, and there are mitzvos that a person can fulfill even in a person's obligated to fulfill even in Chutz La'aretz. The Gemara has a discussion there in Kedushin. What exactly the limit of this is? It's a Gemara in Kedushin Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara talks, but that is really the conclusion. Mitzvos are tluyos ba'aretz, Eretz Yisrael, mitzvos she'enan tluyos ba'aretz, even in Chutz La'aretz. What are examples of mitzvos are tluyos ba'aretz? We should point out that if we were learning, I think the first year, last year, we were talking about some issues of Zerayim, one of the, there are discussions as to particular mitzvos, how you categorize them, as Bikurim as an example, mitzvah tluyos ba'aretz, or not tluyos ba'aretz, there's certain questions like that, but as a whole, we get to see, the general picture is fairly clear. Things like Trumos and Maestros, things like that which I separate from the land once they grow, those are mitzvahs that are talay in Eretz Yisrael. Things like tefillin and mezuzah and tzitzis, those are things that have no connection per se to the land, and those are things that a person has to fulfill even in Chutz La'aretz. Interestingly, if you look in the Gemara in Kedushin, Lam Zayinam and Aleph, you have an amazing Hava Amina. The Gemara has a Hava Amina, Kedushin there, Lam Zayinam and Aleph, Yachol, Kola mitzvos, Kulan, Lo Yunogen, Ela Ba'aretz. The Gemara entertains the possibility that all mitzvos you would only have to fulfill. All mitzvot would only have to be performed dafka in Eretz Yisrael. That is the Gemara's actual Hava Amina. The Gemara comes to conclusion that's not true. We're come to conclusion that we just described in the Mishnah that there are most mitzvot einan tluyos ba'aretz, a person has to fulfill in Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael, but specifically those that are tluyos ba'aretz, that's in Eretz Yisrael. Thing that we're all familiar with, that is our lives. Tefillin, tzitzis, mezuzah, those things we are mekayim, whether we are in Chutz La'aretz or Eretz Yisrael. Trumos, Maizus, and the like, those are things that we're not at all fulfilling in Chutz La'aretz. Yet, there is a Sifri. The Sifri is in Parshas Ekev. It's quoted by Rashi in his Perush HaTorah there in Parshas Ekev, quoted by the Ramban there, quoted by in a very lengthy Ramban in Sefer Yikra in Perek Yudches, there at sources 4 and 5 on the sheet, that the Medrash tells us something that is very wild. We'll quote it the way Rashi quotes it, and then we'll ask the question, try to develop four approaches. Rashi writes, says Rashi, quoting the Medrash, even when Klal Yisrael is in Galus, even when we are thrown out of Eretz Yisrael, says Rashi, from the Medrash, you still be mitzuyanim b'mitzvos, still it's important that you're mekayim mitzvos, hinichu tefillin, put on tefillin, asu mezuzos, make sure there are mezuzos on your home, so that when you come back, they aren't new. The reason the Medrash seems to indicate, at least as quoted by Rashi, the Ramban, as well as many of the other Rishonim, the reason why ki mitzvos in Chutz La'aretz is just so that it will not feel too new. I'll know what I'm doing Bizman HaGeula, when we come back to Eretz Yisrael. It sounds from here that mitzvos in Chutz La'aretz really have no function per se, no inherent value. It sounds like mitzvos in Chutz La'aretz are of a much, much lower value. Eino domet, the way Rashi says, tefillin in Eretz Yisrael to tefillin in Chutz La'aretz, that they're not just Eino Dome, that one is higher than the other. Not just Eino Dome, but really in a fundamental way, there is a significant distinction between them. Ad kedei kach, that the only real reason why we're fulfilling them in Chutz La'aretz is in order to ensure, in order so that we can know that when we get back here, we'll do it well and appropriately. We'll get there in a second. Okay. Many of the Ba'alei Machshava, many of the Mefarshim and Rashi, are very bothered by this Medrash. Let's point out a couple of different ways of asking the question. First, it's not the implication you get from the Sugya and Kiddusha. It is not the simple message when Chazal darshan from the Psukim, that you're chayiv and tefillin and mezuzah and chutz la'aretz. It seems from the Gemara and the simple pshat in the Mishnah that eino dome tefillin in Eretz Yisrael to tefillin and chutz la'aretz. It's true, maybe one is a bit more elevated, maybe, but it doesn't sound when you're looking at the Gemara Kiddushin there at the end of the first parak that there is a significant distinction between Eretz Yisrael and chutz la'aretz, that the only reason why we do it in chutz la'aretz is that when we come back, it's not going to be for it's gezeir saksuva. It's psukim that we're learning from. It seems to be more than that. I'll ask it in a little bit of a different way. The Piyazetzner in Eish Kodesh in Parshas Yisro shares a beautiful insight. Some of the Mefarshim are bothered by the question as far as the location of Kabbalah Satorah. There are a lot of questions that the Medrash deals with that we're familiar with. Why is it given in the Midbar? That's one question. Why give Torah in the Midbar? The Medrash also asks the question of, even if it's given in the Midbar, why Har Sinai? Why choose that mountain? But some in the Mefarshim, I believe the Barbanel and some others, asked the question of why is Torah given in Chutz La'aretz? Of all places where I would have anticipated the Torah should have been given, I would have thought the Torah should be given somewhere in Eretz Yisrael. Har HaMoriah, Har HaBayis, definitely an appropriate place to give it. Why the choice? Why give it in Chutz La'aretz? And the Piyazetzner quotes, source number 10 on the sheet, the Piyazetzner quotes, you don't have it, I don't think, sorry. But, you know, why not? Piyazetzner quotes a insight from the Sefer Beis Aharon. As the reason why the Torah is given in Chutz La'aretz is to convey the fact that the Torah, in its pure and real way, can be fulfilled in Chutz La'aretz. Had the Torah been given in Eretz Yisrael, you could have thought that. You could have made the mistake that the Torah can only be fulfilled in Eretz Yisrael. That's where you do it. But says the Beis Aharon, Piyazetzner quotes, the reason why the Torah is given in Chutz La'aretz is to convey that it can be kept everywhere. The Torah is given there. Moshe Rabbeinu is never zocha to enter into Eretz Yisrael. His mitzvos have no inherent value. How can that be? What really is the pshat in this medrash that keep Torah mitzvos in Chutz La'aretz so that you are able to fulfill? Is that there's no real inherent value? What's the real pshat? What is the value of mitzvos in Eretz Yisrael? And what is the real value of mitzvos in Chutz La'aretz? What is really going on? Four Mahalchim. Mahalch number one is a different pshat in the Medrash. Rabbeinu Hillel, one of the Mefarshim on the Medrash, understands that we are interpreting the Medrash incorrectly. He does not learn the Medrash like Rashi and the Ramban. All the Medrash really says is that the purpose of keeping mitzvos in Chutz La'aretz is in order so that when we return to Eretz Yisrael, that we'll know how to keep mitzvos properly. The Medrash never says which mitzvos are we keeping in Chutz La'aretz in order to do that. Rashi and the Ramban quote tefillin and mezuzah. But that's not actually what the Medrash itself says. Says Rabbeinu Hillel, you know what the real pshat in the Medrash is? In Chutz La'aretz, for sure you have to keep things like tefillin and mezuzah. Of that there's no shaila. Of that the Medrash was never talking about. The Medrash was not saying keep tefillin and mezuzah in Chutz La'aretz so that you will be able to know how to fulfill them when you come back. Rather, the Medrash means that in Chutz La'aretz, you should keep the mitzvos hatluyos ba'aretz. Keep truma and meiser in Chutz La'aretz so that when you come back, you know how to do it. It's not a pshat that tefillin and mezuzah have no value in Chutz La'aretz. No! Tefillin has no difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. The Medrash is teaching us an insight about Maybe it's not halakhically binding, but giving us a bit of an etza. Don't forget the world of mitzvah tulis ba'aretz when you're in chutz la'aretz. Don't forget the world of chumos and maestros, because when you come back, it's going to be very challenging. How many of us know this from our Shana Aleph and the world of Shemitah? We don't keep it, it's a totally different reality. I'm taking some of these things, I'm throwing them out here, I'm throwing it out there. What can I take? Peels, not peels, what can I do? It's such a new reality, it's such a new messias, that it becomes, in a certain sense, something which is challenging. And that's what the Medrash is trying to tell us to avoid. Not tefillin and mezuzah, but rather chumos and maisos. The Ksav Kabbalah, one of the Mefarshim and Chumash, has a very intelligent suggestion. He thinks that this is what Rashi really meant. He suggests there was a misprint in Rashi. It's a great chah. In the old days, when you used to publish, especially by hand, you would use as many abbreviations as you possibly could. Because it was very hard. You don't write everything out. The old Minchas Chinuchs, the new ones spelled out all the words of tables, the old Minchas Chinuchs are filled with lots of words of tables. It becomes very challenging. And sometimes there were mistakes that were made as a result of some of the Rosh HaTevos. Suggest the Ksav Kabbalah. You know what it originally said? Tav Vav Mem. Tav Vav Mem. What exactly was the original pshat? What do we mean? What we meant was Trumos Umaisros. What Rashi originally meant, he wrote, Be Mekayim Tav Vav Mem in Chutz La'aretz, meaning Trumos and Maisros. Nothing with tefillin and mezuzah. Be mekayim trumos umaisros in chutz la'aretz, so that when you come back, you'll know to keep mitzvot dibara. There's never that tefillin mezuzah. But the person, when he then came along and spelled out Rashi and broke the Rosh HaTevos, said, you know what tav vav mem means? Tefillin umezuzos. Tefillin umezuzos. That's what Rashi, so he suggests, that's what Rashi really means. Now the Ksav Kabbalah, source number 7, points out, that's not really a great shot. Because this comment of Rashi, the Ramban, and many of the other Rishonim quoted also like Rashi. So you can't really suggest it for Rashi. But Mahalach number 1 is that from the perspective of Tefillin and Mezuzos, there is no difference between Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael. The only difference that is being mentioned here is that Mitzvah Tuis Ba'aretz. That is Mahalach number 1. 1, 2, and... No, the shofar often, what happened to the shofar was when they were writing it out, especially when they would write it out, they would often elaborate, break down some of the Rosh HaTevos.
Yeah, I was so impressed with the shot of someone was they couldn't think of where obviously not functioning.
Okay, anyway, so let's go. The second shot that is there is a shot in the Tshuva of the Radbaz. It's a Tshuva of the Radbaz. It's also the Maharal quotes in the Yesh Mefarshim, slightly different in Gerari. What they suggest is as follows. And it's an amazing insight into the world of Galus. Why dafka tefillin and mezuzah? Let's start like that. Why dafka tefillin and mezuzah? Why are those the ones that have to make sure we're going to keep in Chutz La'aretz? They suggest, similarly, there's no real difference between tefillin and mezuzah in Eretz Yisrael and tefillin and mezuzah in Chutz La'aretz. There is no fundamental distinction between them. Yet, says the Radvaz, says the Maharal, again, in slightly different ways, you can't understand what the world of Galus really is like. And in the world of Galus, there is a real chance that not that we would think that tefillin and mezuzah doesn't apply, but we would have real, legitimate pturim from the mitzvahs of tefillin and mezuzah. Why would we have real pturim? I would think I don't have to keep them. Why? Galus is really hard. And though our Galus, we are in a relatively speaking, certainly from a monetary, as far as freedom of religion perspective, we're in a wonderful place, at least in many places in the world. What, in much of Galus, it was very, very hard to keep mitzvos. It was very challenging. Says the Radvaz, because Galus is going to be so hard, we could have thought, mitzad ha'ones, yivatlu osam. I could have thought I'm pashat pater from keeping tefillin and mezuzah. I'm honest. I can't do it. They're not letting me do it. It's too hard, the way the Radvaz says it. It's too challenging. Not that I would think halakhically, straight up, I'm not obligated, but I would have thought that I would be pater I'm honest. The same Torah of honest that applies everywhere, it applies, but dafka and chutz la'aretz, I'm going to be honest much more often. The way the Maharal says it, why dafka tefillin and mezuzah? The Jews of Galus are the Jews that wander. The Jews of Galus are the Jews that don't have necessarily their own homes. So mezuzah is going to be very difficult to keep. Because mezuzah requires ownership of a home. Now, that's a bit of an assumption as far as mezuzah. Those of us were Psachim and Davdal last year, Chobas Hadar, and status of a Socher and mezuzah. But there's what to be said. You're talking, at least for many of you, showing, I'm not going to be chayiv me to oraisa and mezuzah if I don't own a home. And the life of Galus is the life of not owning a home. And tefillin is not so possible either. Sugyas in Masechet Shabbos and other places. If you want to fulfill tefillin, there's an iser of hesach hadas while you're wearing tefillin. There's an iser in tefillin thinking about other things. The precise definition of hesach hadas and tefillin is in my focus already shown him. But hesach hadas is an iser with tefillin. You can't wear tefillin with hesach hadas. So I could have thought, you know what? Gullus is so challenging. Gullus is so hard that I could have thought that it's pashut impossible to be yotzi in the midst of tefillin. I'm putter. Why tefillin and mezuzah? I'm chayiv in tefillin and mezuzah in chutz la'aretz. The same way I'm chayiv in tefillin and mezuzah in Eretz Yisrael. But, says the Maharal, and that needs to be far, says the Tshuva L'Ravaz, avoid those pturim if at all possible. Don't embrace those halachically acceptable pturim. Don't go down that track of, oh, it's okay, and therefore I'll... No. You don't want to have a reality, even though, strictly speaking, right now you're putter, you don't want to have a reality where when you return to Eretz Yisrael, Bizman HaGeula, tefillin and mezuzah are totally new. You don't want a reality where those, suddenly I'm encountering something that is just totally unique and something that I have never seen before. So make sure to get it done. I'll share a brief insight from the share ideas from both of the first two Mahalakim. The first two assume that from the perspective of tefillin and mezuzah, there isn't that much of a difference as far as my etzem kiyum ha-mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz, but I think each one adds something that is important. The first mahalach we saw, from Hillel and Medrash, of the Ksav Kabbalah, possibly for Rashi, is the even when you are in Chutz La'aretz, not to lose that connection to the mitzvos ha-tlius ba'aretz and all that that implies. Even when you are in Chutz La'aretz, that recognition and awareness of a chumos and a maizos of a shmita is not, it shouldn't be something that I totally become removed from. It should be something that I attempt to connect myself to and to experience so that when I return, though I'm not offering chumos and maizos from the produce that's grown in my backyard, what I am going to want to have is some sort of a connection to that which is Eretz Yisrael, to those mitzvos in Eretz Yisrael. The second idea gives us, I think, a different insight, one that has less to do per se with the Eretz Yisrael piece, but one that I think that reminds us of something else. There are often situations in life, one insight again from this Maharal and from the Tshuva de Ravaz, there are often situations in life where we have good, halachically valid excuses as to why we are not fulfilling particular mitzvos. There are good reasons why, often, I can't do something. Situations come up in life that make it too challenging, and there are halachically viable pturim that give me exemptions. But what the second Mahalach is trying to remind us of is, I believe, the following. Don't always embrace them. Just because you have a ptur doesn't mean you should take them. And if you rely on your pturim too much, you may totally forget the mitzvah of tefillin and mezuzah in this particular context. We're not worried about tefillin and mezuzah, but there are definitely things throughout life that, just by nature of, there are good reasons why not. There are good reasons why today, on a Talmud Torah level, I didn't have that much time. There are a lot of good reasons why not, and they're halakhically viable pturim. But just because they're a halakhically viable pturim doesn't mean I should always embrace them. It doesn't mean I should always rely on them. The question is not always a question of, am I obligated or not? The question has to be a level beyond that. Not just strictly speaking, am I obligated? Not just a question of, do I have a viable excuse to why I can't do it? Life is not about finding viable excuses. The life of Gullus is one that is filled with viable excuses that Rav Vaz reminds us of, but it is not one that I always want to rely on and not one that I always want to embrace. Sometimes you have to take a little bit of a step back and ask myself, you know, where am I really at? And are the things that I've lost a bit of a connection to and do I have to try and embrace? That is Mahalach number two. There are three more Mahalachim, but I think we'll just go with two. There are two more Mahalachim. If you want to look in the Ksav, the Kabbalah, if you want to look there, you can see a second Mahalach. The Maharal also in Gerar is another Mahalach. But I want to focus on two other ideas. One is the state from Meimarom, Rabbi Moshe Chalap, and one is an insight of Rosenzweig. Both, I think, are very, very powerful. The state from Meimarom, did I put it down here? I'm not sure I did. Meimarom is a variety of svarim put out by Rabbi Moshe Chalap. Rabbi Moshe Chalap was one of the great Talmidim of Cook. He was old Yerushalmi. He was the Rav of Shari Chesed. I believe the Maisa goes, I find this Maisa very inspiring. When he became the Rav of Shari Chesed, he was a unique figure that had respect across the Hashkafic boundaries. He was a very unique and powerful and major Talmud Chacham. Yaakov Moshe Chalap was, when he had an event celebrating the fact he was appointed with the Rav, I believe, of Shari Chesed, he was something like 17 or 18 years old, I think. I don't know, 20, whatever it was. And his mother was there. And they heard his mother let out a real krechts, a real sort of like disappointed sigh at the event. And one of the people asked why exactly, you know, what was pshat in the sigh? What are you so sad about that, you know, your son was whatever? And she said, I had davened and I hoped to have a tzaddik nistar. It's not what I was hoping for. Rabbi Chalap was a very big and powerful tzaddik. And he has a lot to say about Eretz Yisrael in particular. In the sixth chalak of Meimarom, a lot of it has to do with Eretz Yisrael. One of the only chalakim that some are familiar with, because for some reason the base measure is about seven chalak vavs directly behind my makom. So there are a couple pieces there that I am familiar with. This one happens to be quoted also in an article about this topic. But yeah, there's a couple of things there. It happens to be nice. I claim no expertise in the writings of Rabbi Moshe Chalap, but I've looked at different sections of chalak vav. He has a very, I think, powerful insight. I want to give a bit of background to it. Not background that he gives, but background which I believe is important. There is a Tosefta. Tosefta refers to all of Torah of Inyan Echad Hu. Tosefta refers to Torah as all of Torah on some level being interconnected. Rav Schechter points out, and this we've quoted in the past, that the Gra, Deres Eliyahu, and Parshas Shoftim is mechalik between different areas of Torah. There's Isurim, there's Tumantara, there's Mammon. But all of that in the context of Torah being one unit. Torah is one unit. It is all Inyan Echad. Rosenzweig spoke about this once in the context of Baal Tosef and Baal Tigra. Torah is not 613 individual commandments. Torah is a unit of 613 commandments. Torah as a whole, the Taryag Mitzvos, are supposed to be there because as a whole they reflect a certain kind of perfect, a certain kind of general, more klali perspective. They all integrate together. Tefillin is not just a mitzvah tefillin. Tefillin becomes a different kind of tefillin when it's integrated as part of other mitzvos. En odome your tzitzit, if I'm just being mekayim tzitzit, and it's tzitzit on fulfilling in the context of all 613. The problem of Baal Tosef and Baal Tigra, the issur of adding a mitzvah, or taking one away, is not just a problem that when I violate, when I've only been kind of 612, and I take away a mitzvah, I haven't just done 612. I've on some level ruined the whole unit. I've lost some of the perfection that is all of Torah mitzvahs that I'm trying to fulfill. And when I add a 614, it's not just that, oh, I added another one, but I've messed with the unit. I've messed with the notion of the integrated Torah. That Torah as a whole, all kiyum ha-Torah of Torah and mitzvahs, is different when it's all kept together. Says the Yaakov Moshe Chalap, be it without that Hakdama, says the Yaakov Moshe Chalap, that is the difference between tefillin and mezuzah in Eretz Yisrael and tefillin and mezuzah in Chutz La'aretz. You are chai of tefillin and mezuzah in Chutz La'aretz, without a shadow of a doubt. But the tefillin and mezuzah I'm mekayim in Chutz La'aretz is tefillin as an individual tzivoy. It's mezuzah as an individual tzivoy. They're real tzivuyim, and you have to do it. No shadow of a doubt that is a sugya of Maseches Kiddushin. But you know what the difference is in Eretz Yisrael? The difference in Eretz Yisrael is, in the land of Geula, in the land of Mitzvos HaTlios Ba'aretz, dafka there you can keep all 613. Dafka there you can keep all of them. Dafka there you have the capacity to not just keep a tefillin and a mezuzah, but with the trumos and maestros, and ein odome tefillin and mezuzah that's done in the context of a trumos and maestros. Ein odome the kind of mitzvah tefillin and tzitzis that's fulfilled at the same time that I've gotten the entire perspective. That I'm a kayim mitzvah when I work my land the same way. That it transforms all of who I am. We've spoken a lot about this year in the Ramban's Perush, the purpose and function of mitzvos. For a person to become elevated, like the Rambam and the Mora and the Ramban and Parshas Kisei and other places, if mitzvos have the ability to impact me, so when I get the whole package, it's not just that I get part of it. The whole package transforms you into someone that's very, very different. The whole package transforms us. Mitzvos are not just a collection of 613 things. They are one integrated unit that have the capacity to transform us. Sendak of Rosh Hashanah, that gufa is the chiluk between Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael. Chutz La'aretz is where I can fulfill mitzvos very, very well and very, very nicely. But those mitzvos are always going to be mitzvos that stand on their own. The mitzvos in Eretz Yisrael, they impact me in a different way. The mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael are much more integrated. The mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael are much more integrated. Now, you can ask questions on the idea, okay, so what's the status, not Bizman Beis HaMikdash, what's the status, you know, Bizman HaZeh, questions like that. But there's what to question as far as, you know, how exactly it will all play out. But part of the notion of an Eretz Yisrael, even just to play it up, enodome, an increase, the more mitzvahs I can fulfill at that time, the more of an impact it's going to have on me. Yeah. So I think it's the same idea if you're messing with the system. Meaning, even if you can't fulfill all of it. I think the point's not like, only when you do something, no one person can do all 613. The point is that you're messing with the unit. It's intended messing with the unit. Even though you're not fulfilling it. No, even in Chutz La'aretz, you're messing with the unit. It may be that you're unable to fulfill all of it, but even in Jews in Chutz La'aretz, the unit, bichlal, as far as what Torah ideally wants, is still there. The last day is intended for Rosenzweig. It's similar to Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Chalap, but going in a different direction. It requires a bit of background. It's a yisod that a variety of Achronim have. It really comes from the Gemara Maseches Horios and Daf Gimel. It comes from a couple of comments of the Rambam Pirush Mishnayos. The Rambam Pirush Mishnayos and Horios, Rambam Pirush Mishnayos and Bechoros. A lot of these Mekoros are somewhat well known. The Gemara has the line. The Gemara has the line in Chutz La'aretz. Sorry, the word line about a par ha'elim davar shel tzibur. There are certain halachas based on Klal Yisrael. Did Klal Yisrael all sin? They have to bring certain karbanos. That's our parsha. We're in parsha Vayikra. Did Klal Yisrael sin? They have to bring certain karbanos. How do we define Klal Yisrael? How do we define Klal Yisrael? So the Gemara in Horios has the line that the Jews in Eretz Yisrael are halachically what are referred to as Klal Yisrael. The Rambam elaborates on this in a couple of different contexts. A variety of opponents. Things explains a lot of halachas. Klal Yisrael halachas. The real place where Klal Yisrael exists is dafka in the context of Eretz Yisrael. That's where Klal Yisrael, that's where it really functions. That's why, as an example, there are different halachos that require Eretz Yisrael that have nothing to do with Kedushas Haaretz. Kiddush HaChodesh has to be done in Eretz Yisrael. Kiddush HaChodesh has no connection to, per se, Kedushas Haaretz. Why does Kiddush HaChodesh have to be in Eretz Yisrael? So it comes to the Brisker Rav and some of the other Achronim, Mishpacha Salvechik is very into this idea. Kiddush HaChodesh is Klal Yisrael as a whole sanctifying the new moon. And where does Klal Yisrael as a whole really exist? Dafka in Eretz Yisrael. Is nafkaminas in mitzvahs like Egla Arufa? Is nafkaminas in mitzvahs like Smicha? In Dinam like Smicha, a variety of halachas, dafka in Eretz Yisrael, that is where Klal Yisrael has its real status as a klal. Essentially, what emerges from the Gemara and Horios, and what emerges from those Rambams, what emerges from some of those Achronim, is the difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. Is, again, now we're not talking about the function of mitzvos, we're talking about the role of Jews and the interaction with each other. Jews in Chutz La'aretz exist fundamentally the way at least Chazal understand it. Obviously, there's a concept of tzibor. Obviously, there's a concept of community. That's we have tefillah b'tzibor, we have minyanim v'chulei, but they exist on some level as individuals. It is dafka those Jews in Eretz Yisrael that halachically represent Klal Yisrael. Halachically in Eretz Yisrael, that's where you represent Klal Yisrael. Step one of the mahalach. Step two, it happens to be, Rosenzweig points out, this does give us some insight, as an aside, to the opening discussion in the beginning of Sefer Bereishis. Rashi writes, it's just an interesting ha'ara. Rashi, the beginning of Sefer, why start with Bereishis? Why not start with Achoros HaZeh Lachem? So even the Hav Amina, first of all, to start with Achor Zelachem, why is Achor Zelachem the most fundamental thing to start with? Well, because it's a Klal Yisrael mitzvah. It's a mitzvah about Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. It's not Stam, the first mitzvah that happens to be there. It's the first mitzvah that's incumbent upon all of Klal Yisrael, and it happens to highlight all the importance of Eretz Yisrael. What's the Chiddush of Rashi? Why exactly do we start from there? Because there's going to be a fight, says Rashi, over Eretz Yisrael. The entirety of Sefer Bereishis, says Rashi, is going to be a fight over Eretz Yisrael. And the reason why we have Sefer Bereishis is to say, the Ribono Shel Olam created the world, and he decided to give us Eretz Yisrael. All of Bereishis is about Eretz Yisrael. That is an appropriate and good hakdama to Achos HaZelachem also. It's also about a certain quality of Eretz Yisrael. It's also setting up a certain role of Klal Yisrael. That's all really there. It's possible then, it's written in English, and the emphasis on our right to Eretz Yisrael, right at the beginning of the Torah, exemplifies the transcendent halachic and hashkafic role of the community of Klal Yisrael. This theme embodies the very values that make Kirsha Chodesh the ideal introduction to the Torah. The two are very connected. They're about establishing something about Eretz Yisrael, the centrality of Eretz Yisrael, and they're about establishing something about the centrality of Klal Yisrael. Rosenzweig suggests as follows. The Sifri is in Parshas Ekev. It's a great insight into the Sifri. I think it's a great word. This Sifri is talking in the context of Parshas Ekev. It's speaking in the context of the second paragraph of Kriyat Shema. What's the difference between the first paragraph of Kriyat Shema and the second paragraph of Kriyat Shema? However, it's possible that Sifri needs to be understood precisely within the context of the second section of Kriyat Shema, where it appears. As Rashi points out, it is also evident, as Rashi also notes, that this section, as opposed to the first paragraph, is addressed collectively to the entire nation. What makes the second, you have your first paragraph of Kriyat Shema, the V'ahavta, that's in Parshas V'eschanan, that we're speaking to individuals, that we're speaking to Yechidim. The Sifri is dafka in the context of Parshas Ekev. The second paragraph of Kriyat Shema, the Chazal learned that by Yam Shemot Shmuel Mitzvah, we're in the second paragraph of Kriyat Shema. That is clear, as Rashi points out, is speaking to Rabbim, that is speaking to Klal Yisrael as one collective unit. That is a difference between the first and second paragraph. Second paragraph of Brachos, you'll see other differences, but between the first and second paragraph of Kriyat Shema, the first, we're referring to individuals, the second's referring to Klal Yisrael as a whole. Suggests Rosenzweig as follows. Even mitzvahs that devolve upon individuals are enhanced in a national collective setting. The Sifri declares that this communal dimension of personal mitzvahs is primarily attained only in Eretz Yisrael, although as individual performances, there's no particular link to the land. Said the Rosenzweig, the Sifri wants to teach us as follows. On one level, pitoras, my individual, chiyuv in tefillin, parshas v'eschanan, there's absolutely no difference between tefillin in Eretz Yisrael and tefillin in Chutz La'aretz. There is no chiluk between my performance of mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. My tefillin and my tzitzis are the very same tefillin and the very same tzitzis. What is the context of the Sifri, says a Rosenzweig? It's a Parshas Ekev Sifri. It's a Sifri speaking in the context of not my individual mitzvah, but my Klal Yisrael's tefillin. The tefillin that is there in the collective sense. Eino domeh, like in Talmud Torah diyachid, to Talmud Torah derabim. When the masses perform a mitzvah, it's a higher quality mitzvah. When the collective fulfill a mitzvah, it's a different kind of mitzvah. There's a mitzvah I fulfill as a yachid, there's a mitzvah I fulfill berov am hadras melech. Mashal ma'adavar domeh. It's the difference between a wonderful Kabbal Shabbos, you daver on your own, and the wonderful Kabbal Shabbos we'll have tonight, when there's, you know, whatever 100 people standing in a room, powerfully, getting into the davening. In a domeh, a mitzvah fulfilled as a yachid, to a mitzvah fulfilled as part of a collective, as part of all of Klal Yisrael. That is the difference, and that's what the Sifri means. When it comes to your performance of tefillin and mezuzah, there is no distinction between Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael. You gotta do it. What the Sifri means is that element of the mitzvah, that is the mitzvah of the Klal mitzvah, that element of the mitzvah, which is me wearing tefillin, not betorah me as a whole, but connecting to a klal, but being part of something more, being connected to all of Klal Yisrael, that is something which, get it whatever you can in Chutz La'aretz, because get ready, because when you get back to Eretz Yisrael, you want to experience in a unique way that element of the mitzvah. That element is what you want. To remember that mitzvahs are not just about us, but mitzvahs are about also our relationship to others, and in a domain of mitzvahs we fulfill on our own, to the mitzvahs we fulfill as a group. Let's chaz what we did today, and we'll add, I guess, one or two points just to walk out with. On the one hand, it's very clear the sugya Maseches Kiddushin. There are some mitzvahs limited to Eretz Yisrael, but the majority of mitzvahs we fulfill in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. Yet the Sifri tells us, l'chora, fulfill mitzvahs in Chutz La'aretz, so that, not because they're so valuable per se on their own, so that instead, says the Sifri, when you get back to Eretz Yisrael, you will be able to keep mitzvahs appropriate. You'll know it won't be new. What does the Sifri mean? We saw four mahalchim. Mahalch number one, mahalch of Rabbeinu Hillel, mahalch of the Ksav Kabbalah, maybe within Rashi. Tefillin, and that's all the same. But what Chazal are teaching us is, don't forget about the world and mitzvot Luis Ba'aretz when you're in Chutz La'aretz. And we pointed out, that's an important insight and lesson to remember. When you're in Eretz Yisrael, when you're in Chutz La'aretz, don't forget about those unique Eretz Yisrael things. Not to forget about the world of Chuma and Maestro and Shemitah for sure, but in the broader sense. Not to become divorced, separate, a little bit removed from the goings-on in Eretz Yisrael. Not to be, when I get back, I'm so... That can even mean as far as some of the new Sfarim that are coming out in Eretz Yisrael. What's going on in the Torah world in Eretz Yisrael? What's going on in the politics in Eretz Yisrael? I have a certain connection, a certain shaykhus to the world of Eretz Yisrael, even when I'm in Chutz La'aretz. My tefillin and mitzvot are the same, but I want the uniquely Eretz Yisrael things, even when I am a little bit removed. The second mahalach of the Radvaz and the Maharal. Maybe in Chutz La'aretz, it's the same tefillin and mitzvot, but I can have good halachically viable excuses. And the Chazal come along to remind us, don't always embrace them. Not every time it's mutter al pidin, does it mean that I should be doing it. And if sometimes I take a step back, I can have good excuses that will make the mitzvah of tefillin, the medrash is teaching us, just totally disconnected from. I'm totally removed from, for good excuse. Don't embrace all of them, says the medrash. Now, for us, it's not going to be the mitzvah of tefillin, but there may be things that throughout our lives, we have good reasons why we can't do them. Not to become too removed. There may be heterim, reasons why we will not be able to daven with the minyan for such a time at different stages in life. Don't become removed from that. Just because you have a tear doesn't mean you should always embrace them. Third insight, the Mahalach of back of Moshe Karlap. Torah as a unit. Torah as a unit. There's individual mitzvahs I fulfill, and there's something about Torah where it's fulfilled as part of something larger, something more transformative, something a bit more ambitious. That, by the way, is a pshat, if you want one pshat, how Yaakov Avinu is able to say to Esav, Im love on Garti, and Rashi quotes from Chazal, Tariq Mitzvot Shamarti. Ask many of the Mefarshim, how is Yaakov able to keep Tariq Mitzvot there? First of all, he's in Chutz La'aretz. The Chuma and the Meiser, how is he able to do it? How is he able to, he can't do so many of the Mitzvot. So one of the Pshatim just may be that with Yaakov in a Chinami, even though he's able only able to fulfill some Mitzvot there, his orientation towards the Mitzvot was with his back Moshe Chalab kind of, he wanted the collective. He wanted to take upon himself all of what the mitzvahs are trying to do to us. True, technically speaking, he was only able to fulfill, you know, whatever he was able to fulfill. But Tarig Mitzvos Shamarti, he connected to that idea of the Torah being a unit. And the tefillin that he fulfilled there was not just a mitzvah of tefillin. It was a mitzvah of tefillin that was done, what Yaakov was striving for, was a mitzvah of tefillin in the context of all mitzvahs. The kind that's really going to impact him in a broader way. Let's just share an insight about that. For that kind of a mahalich, again, a similar kind of an insight. To focus on individual mitzvahs is always very, very important. But to have a bit of a broader perspective, and to have ambition, and to try to understand well those mitzvahs that maybe we are not able to fulfill, is also very, very valuable. To try to connect to the broader themes of Torah and mitzvahs. The broader ideas. It's like, as an example, you know, obviously a great one. It's like the significance of learning Nigayim and Tzara'as on a Thursday night. It's the notion of trying to connect to mitzvot that hopefully we will never experience as far as Nigayim and Tzara'as, although hopefully with Bizman Beis HaMikdash will be Zocha that the Mitzias could exist, but to be able to connect to that and to appreciate and to learn from the mitzvot kichlal and what I can take from them. The last idea, the Rosenzweig idea, is a very, very powerful one. As Yechidim, you can fulfill mitzvahs anywhere. But Klal Yisrael, and this is so true nowadays, so much of the Torah world, so much of what's going on is happening dafka in the world of Eretz Yisrael. How many of the new Sfarim, Klal Yisrael did not have this for a long time. This a lot of the main a lot of what's going on is happening in Eretz Yisrael, and a lot of, just from a halachic perspective, the unique element of Klal Yisrael that is found specifically in Eretz Yisrael, halachically, through a parhalim davar shel tzibur, through smicha, through egla arufa, through kiddush hachodesh, through a variety of mitzvos, Eretz Yisrael has that Klal component. When we are in Eretz Yisrael, this we will conclude, but when we are in Eretz Yisrael, what we're striving for is not just individual perfection as far as kiyum hamitzvos. We don't just want to have a better tefillin. We want to have a better tefillin, a tefillin that's fulfilled in the context of a Klal Yisrael. A tefillin, mitzvos that are fulfilled in the context of a connection that I have towards others. Ambitious in my own kiyum hamitzvos, pushing myself in my own kiyum hamitzvos, but pushing it dafka in the context of an understanding of the role of others, understanding of the role of the Klal. May we be zocha, as Chazal say, that a lot of the performance in Galus is getting ready and getting warmed up for that wonderful time of Geula. May we be zocha to experience that time of Geula when all of our mitzvot are fulfilled in the most ideal way possible. Shkaya, guys, have a great job.